You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
Last week, fuel stocks in the country went down by 3 or 4 days across each fuel type. The government recognised this, however, as not enough to change to Phase 2 in the National Fuel Plan, drawing some concerned comments from the political opposition around the state of our stocks and when the government plans to actually move up phases. Following a week that saw both Finance Minister Nicola Willis and Prime Minister Christopher Luxon comment on the state of the Strait of Hormuz and the way the United States has handled the ongoing conflict, Willis also travelled to the US to meet with White House advisers. This week, I spoke with National MP Ryan Hamilton about these fuel crisis developments and what the government's approach going forward may look like. To start our discussion, however, we spoke briefly about the confidence in Christopher Luxon's leadership. Just to get us started, I would like to briefly touch on this weekend's chatter about Christopher Luxon's leadership. The National Party caucus is meeting today to discuss kind of the situation. Is the National Party still confident in Christopher Luxon as the Prime Minister?
Yeah, 100%. He's the right man for the job.
And looking slightly out, looking outside of necessarily where the National Party stands on Christopher Luxon as the right man for the job, is there a sort of sense of tension or pressure within the party, not looking at him specifically, but kind of how the public has been reacting to his leadership?
Oh, I think there's always mixed views with the leadership. But, you know, we're just focused on good policy, execution, obviously leading up to the election and then and campaigning again to ensure that we get another 3-year term. So we're really focused on that. And the only poll that really matters is November 7.
Moving on, last week also saw discussion around the government's national fuel plan. Fuel stocks dropped last week by about 3 to 4 days across each type. What's the government's current stance on the state of fuel stocks in the country?
Well, as you know, we've got that fourth phase response, and we're still in that first phase, or phase four. So I think it's phase four, if I've got that around the right way. So, you know, we're confident that we're still, there's going to be some ebbs and flows with shipping and transit and that sort of thing, but we're comfortable that we're still within that band as per expectations.
And when it comes to that band, what sort of lines are we seeing being drawn by the government in terms of when are we going to be moving into these new phases?
Well, we hope that we wouldn't. I mean, I guess that's the first thing. You know, the first two phases are really about just ensuring that we continue to maintain supply, and that's where our focus has been. Obviously, the Prime Minister and the leadership team involved have been very proactive in terms of, you know, relationships with Australia, Singapore and Korea in terms of resilience and ensuring we've got supply arrangements with other partners. And Singapore is quite a key relationship because we've already got free trade agreements with them. And, I mean, that's really where the focus is, you know. And if we get into those other phases, then obviously we look at starting to restrict use selectively. But we hope we don't come to that.
I mean, you've touched on it there, but what sort of agreements are we seeing from the government in terms of kind of securing more fuel stocks for the country?
Well, with Singapore, we've got a free trade agreement, and often in free trade agreements, the country is allowed to protect its own emergency supplies over and above whatever free trade agreement is in existence. But with Singapore, they've worked on a bit of a carve-out where Singapore is dependent on imported food for them, exported from us, and likewise we're dependent on imported fuel. And so we've reached an agreement with them where we can supply them food and they can supply us fuel, which is quite a specific carve out within the free trade agreement that our leadership teams worked through, led by the Prime Minister through his relationships with Singapore. So that's a good example of more optionality should we need it, because essentially we need to collaborate. We're all, you know, well, certainly we're an island nation. Singapore is landlocked and has the need for some of the endowments which we have, obviously our ability to produce food and fibre. So that's a really good example that we've got in place should we need to action that.
Comments have been made, however, about the kind of... When we look at these fuel stocks going down, especially Labor has sort of faced National with this criticism about when exactly these stocks going down equates to a shortage. What sort of framework do the National Party and the government have in place for kind of where this line between stocks down and a shortage is?
I don't have that right in front of me, but there are thresholds that they'll use, and that would, you know, put them into the next band, which is quite clear in terms of what the next line of actions would be. But for now, there's comfort in the current state of play. The most important thing, obviously, that we've been quite clear to make is, you know, our targeted timely response. And you've seen some of that. We've talked about some of that in the last few weeks with the in-tax family credit, obviously the disability travel allowance, and then just this week, you know, support for those in rural areas, isolated teachers and parents. We've lifted the travel rate for them so they can get a little bit more support up to a year, or until the price of 91 changes or drops below $3 per litre for four consecutive weeks. So we're sort of looking, it's a live issue, and we're looking each week at who's the most affected, how can we help? Because obviously we don't want, you know, we've campaigned on education, high attendance and those sorts of things. So we're making sure that children, for example, aren't, you know, victim to a fuel crisis where they can't go to school and learn. So those, you can continually see the, you know, the targeted response we're making to those people that are most affected, and just trying to alleviate, you know, those cost pressures, but in a way that it's not broad brush. So they're not just spraying money around everywhere, and those that can absorb the costs are getting the benefit. We're really targeting those who can feel it the most.
I mean, yeah, just on that, are there any sorts of communities or groups like this that the government is currently kind of looking at getting into with this support, this targeted support, or is it kind of just really a week-by-week basis?
Well, I think as cost pressures continue, those that are struggling, they will start to come to the surface in terms of, you know, frustration or anxiety or pressure. And so we are looking at across the spectrum. I mean, there's a lot of first and second and third order implications. Obviously, it's not just price of fuel at the pump, but it's the flow on effect to, you know, to tradies, to customers purchasing goods and services, to, you know, impact on the economy through tourism and eating out and those sorts of things. So, you know, there's a whole work stream going on. I think, you know, the transport industry is obviously hugely affected. So we're looking at, are there any levers that we can use? Maybe they're financial, maybe it's legislative, that would give them more scope or more capacity within the existing framework. So, yeah, there's a lot of work going on, but I think we have to be iterative because, A, we don't know how long this is going to last, and or B, we can't foresee all of the impacts immediately and how they play out. So I think we've just got to be nimble. But we are really trying to take our learnings from that COVID era where, you know, $30 billion was effectively sprayed out and drove up, you know, inflation, the cost of living, and the impact obviously is felt, you know, 3, 4, 5 years later. And so we're really trying to learn those lessons from Treasury and you know, work within the buffers that we've got.
And just finally, the government has obviously spoken to the necessity of reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Nicola Willis, in particular, has now travelled to kind of discuss a lot of the implications of this ongoing fuel crisis. But going forward, what can we kind of expect to see with regards to how New Zealand approaches the parties involved with the hostilities to kind of look forward to resolving this conflict?
Yeah, well, obviously, we saw Nicola was in Washington last week, and as a party, we'll be catching up today, and we hope to hear from her on that and what her thoughts and ideas are around that. And the Prime Minister said, you know, we've signed international agreements to try and keep the Strait of Hormuz open, and potentially, you know, even considering whether there needs a stronger response from a New Zealand defence perspective. So I think all options are open, and it's pretty iterative. But certainly today, post our caucus
we should know a little bit more in terms of next steps.
That was National Party MP Ryan Hamilton on Luxon's leadership, fuel stocks and the wider fuel situation.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.